Welcome back to episode number 264 of the Dust Safety Science Podcast. This is a podcast for building a global community around process safety and industries handling combustible dust. I'm your show host, Dr. Chris Colony. In today's episode, we are covering the redesign process for grinding enclosures, in particular with metalworking applications. And we're doing that with Greg Slavin, president at Clean Air Company, based out of Woodbridge, New Jersey. Greg, welcome back to the Dust Safety Science Podcast.
Thank you, Chris. It's good to be here.
I'm super excited to have Greg back on today. We had him back on the podcast back in episode 181, covering challenges in educational wood shop dust collection systems. And now we have him back today talking about grinding enclosures. This was actually a help desk question that came in through our help desk system from someone that was responding to the recommendations of a dust hazard analysis to improve the enclosure around a grinding application. In particular, they're looking to meet or match, as they stated, ACGIH, so American Conference Governmental Industrial Hygienists recommendations for that enclosure. It's not something I'm very familiar with. You can probably tell by how badly I said the acronym. I believe it is something that Greg is very familiar with. So it might be an interesting discussion here today, learning from him and his experience. Greg has over 30 years experience in industrial ventilation systems, extensive experience in industries that are handling combustible dust, like woodworking that we talked about last time, like metalworking that we're going to be talking about here today. So Greg, thanks again for coming on. We're going to cover Greg's background. We're going to cover some of the steps around assessing these type of grinding equipment, what things might go wrong, what might we look at, how do we come up with a better enclosure at the end of the day. So Greg, to kind of kick things off, I know we had you back in, again, a year and a half ago or something on the podcast. What work do you do in industries and what kind of companies do you typically work with today?
We're pretty much in almost every industry that's manufacturing or generating some type of indoor air contaminant. So we're a full service provider for industrial ventilation systems. We do design, we do the installation, we provide service after sale for maintaining dust collection systems covering the Northeast region corridor. We're based out of Woodbridge, New Jersey, cover New Jersey, New York, PA, Delaware, Connecticut, that general area. And we're in the aviation industry, vocational schools, transportation, steel fabrication, working with companies, Lockheed Martin, Aerospace, Lincoln Technical Institute, Con Edison, PSE&G, all of them different types of applications, whether they're doing welding or grinding, a lot of aluminum, titanium in the aerospace industry. So it's a little bit about what we do. We go in and do an evaluation and provide proposals for recommendations for improving indoor air quality.
Well, that sounds fantastic. And we had a really good discussion last time on, I think it was high school wood shop dust collection systems. Yeah, where we see maybe 4, 5, 6 fires in North America in high school dust collectors every year. Just from our reporting, I'm sure the actual number's higher. It's just that's what we see in the local news. But with what I know, how poorly some of those are designed, it's a challenge, and it might be an incident waiting to happen. So that's why we had you on the podcast before. This episode, we're talking about grinding enclosures specifically, looking at metalworking applications. And the question that came in, I sort of stated in the intro, was we have a DHA recommendation to improve this grinding enclosure. What does that look like? So I guess from your side, coming into something like this, what are the first steps to understanding requests like this, and what are the first things that you need to start to understand and know in order to assess this type of system?
Well, with the grinders, we typically go in, we're designing a hood for the enclosure of the grinder. And once we've achieved that, that's how we can establish how much airflow we're going to need. So it's not uncommon for, say, a shop, they have an 8-inch diameter wheel, it's maybe 1 inch wide. And that grinder they've been using for years, and they get another one and they say, well, we have some different tooling or some different parts that we need. We have to go with a larger wheel. Maybe it's a 12-inch wheel. Maybe it's 2 inches in diameter. So, we get into how much air do we actually need from where we were to where we need to be. We need more air for the 12-inch, 2-inch wide wheel than we would for, say, a smaller 8-inch wheel. So the first thing that we do is we establish how much air we need. The second step is we have to figure out how much air do we have. So We may do pitot tube traverse through that that one branch, and suppose they had 300 and say 50 CFM. And that would make sense if they had a 4-inch duct, because I guess what their concern was is with the metal dust, they need to have a minimum conveying velocity of 4,000 feet per minute. The air needs to move through that duct at that rate of speed, so that that material that they're collecting just doesn't reside in the ductwork. We need to be able to convey that all the way back to the collector. So a common problem you run into is maybe we only need another 100 CFM.
Yep. So you mentioned a kind of couple cases here where you go from one grinding wheel size to another grinding wheel size, and then you may not have enough capture velocity in that hood to pick up material. So you're seeing, I don't know, material kind of accumulate. Is that, I mean, that's one scenario. Have you come into sites where you're seeing that there's just fugitive dust up and around these sort of grinding wheels? And like, what are the kind of other, what I'm trying to think of is if a client or a person who's listening to this podcast notices as another site as a reason to come and evaluate this, are there sort of other areas and things you might see that says, oh yeah, we should look at this system? So you mentioned dust settling in the duct. You mentioned change management, moving from one size wheel to another. Do you see anything kind of other common reasons why folks bring you in?
Sometimes the hoods get damaged based on the materials that they're using. The employees are working with some heavy metals. They bang into the hoods. They come loose. When they have to change the wheels, the hoods sometimes have to be disassembled so that they can change those discs. And so maybe they're not put back properly. Maybe the ductwork isn't sealed properly, so they're losing air volume. So, yeah, I mean, it's the constant back and forth with tools and employees and how they work together and how they're properly maintained is a big problem.
Yeah, they always work very well together, I'm sure. Employee plus tool plus duct doesn't always equal good result.
Nope.
So, and you mentioned kind of pitot tube measurements. Maybe for folks that aren't that familiar in this space, what does that look like? And then also, is there any other sort of measurements that you're taking to try to figure out and assess one of those two questions? You mentioned, you know, how much air do we need and how much air do we have?
Right. So the pitot tube traverse is basically a way that you can establish how much airflow that you have in that ductwork. And then when you figure out how much airflow you have, you just do the calculations for, you know, you take that airflow, you divide it by the area of the duct, and that will give you what the velocity is moving through there. And again, the target for this application, you need to be at least 4,000 feet per minute.
Yep. And that makes, and depending on the dust that you're handling, those rates might be different. 4,000 feet per minute is the recommended rate for metals that you're handling.
Correct.
What other kind of issues come up? So you mentioned settling in the duct, having too low a velocity. Any other kind of common things you see that come up as challenges?
It's lack of knowledge. You know, so the challenge really comes in is, a lot of people use blast gates, and they don't understand. They think if they close off one duct, it's going to give them more airflow to another duct. And if that doesn't work, then they close two blast gates. And in reality, the only thing that they're really doing is they're adding pressure to the fan, and they're reducing total CFM capacity of the system. So you have all these employees working with these blast gates, opening and closing them. And, you know, that's usually a problem and will result in material settling in the duct.
Yeah, sort of like just closing the gate and praying and hoping that we get enough air at the hood to suck the stuff up at the end of the day.
Yeah, exactly.
What comes up for fire and explosion safety with these type of systems? Is it common to see prevention protection methods put in place? What are the most common ones you find yourself recommending over and over again, and what should folks be thinking about in this area?
A lot of people still are not familiar with, I guess, the NFPA standard 484. A lot of companies still haven't done the dust hazard analysis. So, you know, we see a lot of stuff where you have some people that are mixing steel and aluminum. The hoods aren't labeled. It should be labeled steel only or aluminum only, so that they know that, you know, all the aluminum is going to one particular collector and steel would be going to a separate. You can't mix those two. I've never seen anybody have any kind of emergency response plan where maybe they're at least labeling the collector that this contains combustible metal dust and letting them know that they should not use water, being prepared as far as what extinguishing agents should be used. That's also something we rarely see. The facility maintenance and cleanup. That's always a, it doesn't generate any profit, so it's often overlooked. So they usually will walk in and you'll see piles of maybe aluminum chips or just steel grinding dust laying around grinders or lathes or machines. See maybe some on wet collectors. We don't always see the vents for the hydrogen when they're dealing with aluminum dust collection. Pretty much it. They should all have a dust hazard analysis, identifying any types of sources of ignition. They should be doing the at a bare minimum the inspection of the ductwork at least every 6 months so that they can ensure that they don't have any material buildup, from the dust entering in.
Yeah, I'm trying to pick up while you're going through those. Well, I'll attach in the show notes for this case study that we have out of, I believe, Taiwan. I'd have to double check to make sure. I don't think anyone was seriously hurt, although then it surprises. Oh no, there were a couple people seriously hurt. So I won't say the fun part about this one, which is what I meant to say, but the interesting part about this one is that we originally received the report. There's a nice one-page report on it, but it was in Chinese, so we had to get translated. So I'll attach that in the show notes, but it was a standalone grinder similar to this. I'm not sure if it's a wheel or sort of a, I think it was a belt grinder actually. And it had an enclosureless collection system attached to it. But the explosion happened when they switched from grinding aluminum something to iron pipes. I can't remember what the aluminum things they were grinding were. I'd have to read the whole thing. And that's when the explosion happened. So it was nice. Somebody sent us this case study again, I think out of Taiwan. Let me just check. I believe it was a bicycle parts manufacturer, but I'll put the post in the show notes anyway so folks can have it and download that. And then we have a Google translated version with English words over top of the images that kind of shares a bit about it. It was an interesting case study. And like you said, just I really like the idea of labeling the hoods. That's really smart. Aluminum, iron, and that then if people are going to go put something else on that grinder and they realize it's not that, then at least they can ask the question, say, oh, what's this? What's this all about? Why does this say aluminum only or iron only, and at least have a conversation there before they start mixing metals together. You mentioned a couple other really good ones: emergency response plans, what's inside dust collection systems. Those are probably two that we see time and time again that cause a real loss. When you have a smoldering or a fire, and an employee tries to put it out, or even a firefighter tries to put it out, they don't know what they're dealing with in there, or they do know what they're dealing with, but they don't know beforehand the proper response. In several cases where that's caused explosions from using the wrong extinguishing material to just dispersing the dust in the air while you're doing the firefighting effort. And the worst part about those ones is someone's in the vicinity because they're trying to put out that fire. So that's where you see a lot of injuries and worse happen in these type of scenarios. You mentioned dust hazard analysis, NFPA 44 requirements, and a bunch of other kind of considerations around this that are really useful as well. I guess kind of to wrap things up and bring them towards ending for today. Any other closing words or anything that you see from other areas in terms of grinding closures, metalworking that you think is important for the audience to understand and look at today?
The most important thing is they have to understand that everything operates as a system. So before we were talking about we needed an extra 100 CFM for that hood to be effective at capturing whatever that material was. And so where do you find that extra CFM? So you have to really evaluate the whole system in terms of in order to get additional airflow, how do we reduce the pressure, the existing pressure against the fan? So some of the things that we would be going in and looking for is there a lot of flex hose that's tied into these systems? Is that flex hose bonded or grounded? Can we modify the duct in other locations? Maybe it wasn't balanced properly, and we have areas where well over 4,000 feet per minute, and if we increase the diameter of the duct, maybe we can reduce the pressure there, so we can we're looking for opportunities where we can get that additional CFM. Maybe it's a belt-driven fan, and it's just a matter of changing shivs, changing the fan outlet. So you really got to do a whole system evaluation. If you, and it's a lot of work just for one hood, but the impact is catastrophic, because if you don't do it properly and then you have that material, you're just leaving an ignition, energy in there for that one spark that comes off that grinding wheel. It doesn't have to actually now transport all the way back to the collector. You have all that fuel residing in the ductwork. So can't be just looked at as I'm going to change the hood and make a better enclosure. If you need that more air, your velocity pressures go up. And so you need to account for that. How are you going to get that extra airflow?
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. And that's why it's a really good point to bring somebody in like yourself that has the experience in this area on I think on both sides. So to make sure you're getting a solution that's actually going to fix the problems you need to fix. Like if you could assess the system and go, oh, we really need protection on that dust collector, maybe you do, but if they're still settling in the duct, there's another hazard that is probably more severe, depending on where the dust collector is located, than that other hazard you're looking at. So there's that side, but then there's also, okay, well, there may be an easier way. You mentioned putting a shiv on the system. There may be easier ways to solve the problem as well, and then you'd have that kind of experience to be able to relay that to folks as well. So that's why I wanted to get you on. I have no idea what AC, well, I get the general idea of AC, GIH and grinding closures and hood design, but it's definitely not my background. I did do mechanical engineering, but switched over to chemical to get into the physics and chemistry of explosion side of things. So I didn't do a whole lot in that area. And that's why I reached out to you on this help desk ticket, connect you through. And that's why I want to get you back on the podcast to talk about it as well. So I think we'll leave it at that for today, Greg. I want to say thank you again for coming on. I'm sure this won't be your last time on the podcast, and I appreciate the work you do out there.
Thank you, Chris. Appreciate what you're doing also for the industry. It's important.
Oh, thank you so much. So you've been listening to myself, Dr. Chris Cloney, and Greg Slavin, president at Clean Air Company based at Woodbridge, New Jersey. This has been, a discussion around a help desk ticket that came in on redesigning a process for grinding enclosures. In particular, what kind of considerations should you be looking at here? This was done on the back of a dust hazard analysis that said that the grinding enclosure was generating a hazard at the site. And the folks involved wanted to understand, well, how do we start to assess this? So we talked through a couple, high-level things. What are the first steps to understanding the hazards involved? What are the things we might need to measure? What are the things that we need to look at? Greg talked a lot about, how much air do we need to actually pull that material off? How much air do we have in the system to date? And then getting that air that we have up above the air that we need to keep the transfer velocity high enough to avoid that settling on the duct. There's a lot of reasons why this may come up. We talked about management of change, changing the grinding wheels, damage to the ducting, generalist challenges, not having enough hood at the first, or not enough velocity at the hood in the first place, or maybe there's some changes, unengineered changes to the dust collection system and ventilation system that have reduced that. And these are all kind of considerations where you might need to start looking at this. Talk about some fire and explosion challenges. So things like mixing of materials, emergency response plans, what kind of extinguish agents should be used to fight fire and explosion, or rather a fire to avoid causing explosion in sites like this. Training that's needed for folks, fire and explosion on dust collectors and a lot more. We closed out by a couple of key points on other considerations that folks might need to be looking at in this area as well. So I do want to say thank you to Greg for coming on again to the podcast. We will have a way to contact him in the show notes for this episode at dustsafetyscience.com/264. That's the number 264 for this episode. If you want to understand a bit of what he does, you can go contact him there. As always, we say thank you for listening to the podcast. Hope you have a safe and productive week ahead. I appreciate everything you do in industries handling combustible dust, making it safer with the work you do out there every day. Keep it up.